This is Lynn Fox for the Thorn and Hatfield Moors Oral History Project. It's Friday the 12th of January 2007, and I'm talking to Mrs. Hibbard.
Morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could I just ask you to start with, if you could tell me when and where you were born, please.
I was born at Ivy House on Selby Road at Thorn.
And when was that?
Do you mind? 1937.
So have you always lived in Thorn?
Yes, yeah. And then when I was 8, we moved to Moor End onto a farm. My father was a farmer. And opposite the Fison's Peat Works, it used to be the paraffin mill years ago. You've probably heard of that. Hmm. Yeah, well, at my dad's farm was opposite Brown. Well, Brown's, you used to go through Brown's farmyard to the paraffin mill to go onto the moors that way.
And was Brown's farm the one you lived on?
No, we lived at the Hall farm up the opposite side of the road, up Gore Road.
Okay.
And I went there when I was 8.
Okay. And do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister.
Okay. Had you, before you moved on to that farm, had you been on a farm before?
It was a cottage, but on Ivy House on Selby Road, it was just a little cottage, but it had a field with it. And my dad kept cows and things in, but my granddad, my dad's dad, he lived a little further up to Thorn, and he had a farm with a field, and they did all sorts and that.
So there was the more farm too? Is it whole farm?
Whole farm, yeah. It was a bigger farm. It had 90 acre, and I went there when we were 8.
Mm-hmm. So was it along? You said you were near to the Moor End Mill.
Yeah.
And then there was another farm close by.
Well, as you go through Moor End to Gowall now, my dad was on the left. You go over the crossings, my dad's farm were on the left, and on the right it was, Brown's farm. It was years ago, it was Alkins. And you used to go through his farm yard, and on under the railway, the Moor End crossing box goes through, you used to go under there, and then that's where the paraffin mill used to take paraffin up there. Like a dike sort of thing. Mm. And they pulled that down years ago. Mm. But
can you describe to me what the house and the farm was like?
Ours?
Yes.
It's haunted.
It was haunted?
It's haunted. So they say, yes. It was a big farm, a big house. And it was, there were 87 acres to be exact. And we used to do all proper, like potatoes, and then my dad had cows, and he used to do a lot of milking. He did his own milking and sort of thing like that. Mm. And then across the road, they were like a big house, what we called Alkins, and they used to go past that and through the farmyard to get to the peat works, what they did.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Greentop at Thorn, and then when I was 8, I'd come to Moor End to juniors and then to senior girls.
Mm. And how did you get to school?
On my bike. I used to bike to school. My sister went on bus, but I had to go on bike.
Why didn't you go on bus as well?
Because it wouldn't, I'd rather go on bike. Because I came home from my dinner, and she didn't, she stayed at school.
Mm. Were there lots of children around where you were?
No, there were just us three. You know, there were no other kiddies unless you come into Moor End to play, but you never came much into. I had the girls come to play to our house, and then I was to their house, but we'd know about half a mile more to get into the village. Mm.
And you live near to the Moor End Mill?
Yeah, just like cross the road to the farm. I can vaguely remember that.
I was going to ask you what you remembered about it.
I can remember house being there. And then there were like tin buildings, but then we never, it weren't often we went through unless you had to, went when you were kids, you'd maybe go with my dad like through, but I didn't really take a lot of notice.
Did you ever go and like play on the moors or anything?
No, I only went to work on moors.
So until you went to work on the moors, did you ever go on them?
No. That big fire, we could see it from farm. We could, it were all.
Is this Crawl Fire you're talking
about? No, Swinefleet.
Swinefleet,
yeah.
When was that?
Oh, about 50, 53. There were big You're always getting a fire in summer, you know.
I'm just interested that there's quite a lot of people I've met who live right on the edge of the moor, you know, that they're even their garden basically.
Oh, yes, yeah, sort of, yeah.
And they never went on,
no,
went on
no.
it. But I suppose maybe there's no reason.
Well, no, not really. No.
Yeah. So, when did you first become aware of the moor then?
We always knew it were there, but as I say, we never went on. But my dad had a bit of land at the bottom, not far off where that mill was, and he used to go, we'd go on tractor there, but didn't take much notice, really.
What did you do when you left school?
Stopped at home, and I did farm work for a few years, and then I came to Thorn, to live at Thorn, when I was Ryan were little. Then we went to live on the edge of the moors in 63. Well, nearly edge of the moors, about half a mile away.
Mm. Is that a correct sign?
Yes, yeah, and that's where Ryan were. Either. And then we came back to Thorn.
I'll come back to that in a minute. When you say you did farm work,
tell me
a bit about what that means. What did
driving tractors, milking cows, ploughing. Anything like that he used to do, yeah.
Did you all do that, all the family?
No, my sister went to be hairdresser, and then my brother, he was like 10 years younger than me, so when I got married, he was nearly old enough to look after the farm, and we lost my dad then, and he carried on farming.
So how did you meet your husband?
He was a farm labourer.
And did he come to work on your farm?
Yeah. Yeah, they've always done, then went to carry Pete off at Mount Moors.
Well, I want to come on to that now. So you got married?
Yeah.
And did Mr. Hibbert still carry on working up farm?
First, he went on to, I think he went on in 55. In 50, he'd tell you because he remembers Nathan. In 55, I think, he went on to Moors and he stopped there around there 28 years.
What made him go on? Well, I'll ask him what it
for was. For more money, you know.
And you were also involved in that then?
Yeah, when I got our Brian. We went on to Craig Sidings in 63. Then I used to go carry off from then, carry Pete off. He would take Danny, Brian on my motorbike. He used to have it under 50. And then I used to take other little lad, Brian's brother. I used to tie them both on with a bit of thing on the back of mine and take them through. And then Suzanne, when she was my daughter, she was only about 18 months old, we made a Doug, like, he made him a little Wendy house or thing. And she used to play hours in there while we got as work done. Then I'd play back on by and come home.
You made a little Wendy house out of what?
Wood. They made her a proper little, so she could sit in it and keep her warm. And that, and she used to sit in there, and I'd carry off. And then we'd come home, maybe 2 o'clock. We'd get there for about 9, come back around about 2 o'clock.
So, did Mr. Hibbert work for the...
He worked for British Moss. To start with, yeah, and then it carried on till the Rio got made redundant.
So you didn't ever work just for yourself?
No, they paid his wages, don't they? You know, British Moss, and then it went to Pisons, I think, yeah.
So did he work all year round on?
Yes, well, they could in winter if it were, I think they've only like maybe had a few days off or a couple of weeks when it were really frosty, but 63 were really. Really bad, but he didn't work on. He did. He worked on moors then.
And did they cut all the time?
They were when it were frosty, they couldn't cut because it wouldn't go because it's like had a lot of water in, don't it, Pete? Mm. And it froze up. That year, 63, they were out of work 13 or 14 weeks, because it were that it froze from New Boxing Day right through. And they couldn't work because they couldn't, but other times, I mean, they've kept going, sort of thing.
And tell me how what you used to do then?
He used to cut it, then I'd carry it off.
What do you mean by that?
Well, get me fork. He'd cut these squares, and I'd put fork in, take two at a time, and make them, put them in rows, and that. Then you used to do like probably a chain a day, sort of thing. And then you'd leave it. You'd carry on, they'd be, ever so far. And then when it's were really April time when it started, you'd start and you'd wall it all. You'd take it, you'd pull it all, and then you make your wall, and you'd do ever so many different ones what you'd graved. And then you'd come back to piddy it like, and then let that dry, and then you'd stack it.
And did you both work on walling and
yeah. Yeah.
But he did the digging.
So
he would cut the turf and lift it up onto the bolt side.
Because it'd be about this high and we'd be like in bottom.
That's so, about 4 foot up.
Yeah. So he'd take it off. It were better when you got down, it weren't as far to drop it sort of thing. And he'd cut
So he'd cut it, and then where would he put it?
On the floor, just he'd stand in bottom and dig it off and then put it into bottom so I could just put fork in and make me rows.
Right. And where would you be in the bottom as well?
I'd be at bottom and he'd be at the top, cut it, then he'd take the top lot off, and then as he got further and further down, he'd nearly be level on
with you.
The bottom. Yeah.
So he would dig it and drop it down to the bottom, and you'd put your fork into
in it,
two
yeah.
of them.
Sometimes
and then lift them up to the...
No, just lift it and walk. Get your fork, you dig it like that and you'd walk. And you drop it like that, until you did your rows. You just stick your fork in and put it into a.
So you make your rows in the bottom.
Yes, you make your row far, so far in, you know. And then you keep moving on till as soon as he got that old piece done, he'd start with another and carry on that way. Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking that you lifted it up onto the top and made a row on the top.
No, because it's like he'd be digging here, and then he'd cut it, take it off. And he'd like drop it to here, and I'd like walk, bring it back, put it in my rows. And then when he got that to the bottom where he was going, he'd start again, and then you'd move up a bit further.
Right. So that's different to walling then?
Walling's because when you get that in, let that dry, then you'd fetch your first lot of roll and lay it over. And then you'd your second row, you'd put on the top. Then you keep doing that until you, and then you'd have like a gap with each. You like your first row for your over, then your second row you put on the top, and then you brought that on like that up.
Right. Time. So the bit that had been standing against the ground, you turn it sideways, so that the bit had been against the ground had got some air to it.
Yeah.
And then the others you'd stack on top.
Top. Yeah. Not right high, only that high, too high.
Yeah.
And then you'd have your two. You make another row with your next two rows. And you'd carry on till you come to end it. Could be half a mile long, and then you'd start and then piddy it all. Then when it would dry.
So that's taking away the bit that's been stood against the ground, letting it get some air
to it. Yeah.
Ah, I see. I understand.
Yeah.
So were there many men, women work with the men?
There were a few. The Mrs. The Millibuck. She used to, but she lives in Derbyshire now. There'd maybe be two or three women. There weren't a lot of women did it, you know.
And what about the ones that didn't have women working with them?
They did it themselves. They'd dig so much, then they'd have to go get the fork and then put them in the rows and then keep doing it all, you know, keep doing it that way.
Mm. That must have been very heavy if it's full of water.
Well, it was, but you used to it. We were working out fine, it didn't make no difference, you know. But it was heavy, yeah. You used to get tired of it.
And did you get paid a wage?
He did, and he got paid. Well, I liked sort of helping him to do what he was doing, to get more done for his more chain sort of thing. But no, I didn't get a wage on my own.
It just meant that he could move faster.
Faster, yeah. Yeah.
So tell me again how you coped when you got your children. So you used to go out to work?
Yeah.
Tell me again how you went out to work.
I went on the 50, and it'd be half an hour to get to where you were going from Craigside, because you were And I used to tie our Paul in the middle, and our Brian would sat at the back, and I used to tie him to me so he wouldn't fall. And we'd go on there, and then same coming back, you know. But,
and how old would they be?
Mine wouldn't be very old, would it? It'd be, we went there. Don't think about two or three. No, he won't. No, because there's 4.5 years between them. It'd maybe be five, and then I had Jet Paul. No, did he?
But Brian was oldest.
He's oldest, then there was Paul, then there's Suzanne. But she was 18 months, and then we came to live here when she was 2.5. Mm. So I did it from.
So you'd have, you'd have a 5-year-old fastened to you on the back?
On the in middle, I'd seat in middle, and then our Brian used to sit at the back of him. So I used to tie both them two to me.
Alright,
and so they wouldn't fall off.
Because it's not a very comfortable road,
no,
is it?
No, it's only used to be about that wide.
So you'd have a track about a foot wide?
Yeah, that's all you'd have to get away. And where people had gone over, you know, it was worn. You could see that way your track, we followed that. And it, we were all right, just got on and went. Mm. Thought more about it.
What time did you go in the morning?
About 9. And finished, get about 2:30. Sometimes it'd be, if you were busy, you know, want to get this here piece done, you'd stop a bit longer.
And what did you do with the children while you were digging? Because they would have been
they'd play,
longer.
Just play in, you know, this. But Brian and Paul didn't always go because they were at school. See, Suzanne, she was little, you know, youngest. So she was about 18 months old. She went and played in Wendy House with all the toys and everything. And if we moved each place, Wendy House went with, you know, she used to play in there. But they were at school like lads, because James Brian went to Rawcliffe Bridge and then he went to Snaith. Mm. And then James E. Paul went to Rawcliffe Bridge, then we came to live in, then went. Mm. Yeah.
Now Brian's mentioned, I think it was Brian mentioned, about making a pen out of turf.
Yeah.
So that it would bounce.
Yeah, so you could
talk,
keep
talk
it
about
off.
That.
You could, well, they just make like a square thing so they could stop there, you know, they'd be. We are right, because you know the snakes and things about, so you have to be a bit careful. But
and it was made out of what?
Just out of turf, you know, dry bits of turf and stuff like that. But as I say, they were at school, so they didn't go as much as what. And as I say, Suzanne came, we were 2.5 when we came here, then I didn't go no more after that.
So when did you stop going? She was about
she's 2.5, she's 38, so go back that far. Mm.
So why did you stop?
Because it meant me going in and I couldn't take care, because I couldn't be tied to me, could I, on school, on under 50 to go from here to Moor End.
Oh,
to go.
So you moved,
yeah, I've
you,
got to.
You moved away from Creekside?
Yeah, we come to live here then. We came here in 1970.
Right.
So from 1963, I worked that on the Moors that time, carrying him. Walling and doing. Yeah.
And so it wouldn't have been possible,
I'd had to go up road and I couldn't take a. Excuse me a minute.
When you're at Craig Signings, it's quite a long way.
To Edgett Moors, yeah.
Well, it's quite a long way from everywhere, really.
Oh, it was. 2 miles from into Rockwick Bridge. Yes, we had a van and we used to go shopping and that with that, and Brian went on his bike to school and caught a bus from Rawcliffe, and they got up to go to Snaith school. But you do it, didn't you? Think more about it.
Mm. Was it a private house that you went to live in then?
No, it belonged to Pete Works. Then it was our two. I think there were 5 or 6 houses there. Yeah.
He started off about 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And came back about 2. So you'd have to take stuff with you.
You took your dinner and your flask and that, and had some to eat when you felt like it. If you know, you didn't say, oh, it's dinner, 12 o'clock, we'll have a dinner. If you felt a bit hungry, you'd have a sandwich and a drink of tea and then carry on.
And you say that you were used to doing farm work.
Yeah.
Was it very similar kind of work?
Well, they were, yeah, because I mean, when you were farming, you'd still to use a fork when you're mucking cows and things out. So it was just, we were just lifting peat out at road, that were, you know.
It sounds like very hard work.
Not really. Because we're used to it, aren't we? It never bothers us.
So when you went to the workings, were there a lot of people there? Was there a lot of people working on that job?
On the moors?
Mm.
Yeah, there'd be somebody over there, and then somebody over there, somebody at the other side, past
well,
track.
That draws off its hinges,
honey. I'll sort it. Maybe Tommy there, and Alfie Moffitt over there, and two different ones.